Hello and welcome back to a Monday edition of My Little Corner of Oklahoma Education. I had a nice relaxing weekend. Got to hang out with my family, with some friends. My wife got to catch up with some high school friends, and I just kind of slipped my mind. I was enjoying being present, I guess. And so here I am on a Monday recapping last week. Let's see, a big thing that was going on, we had our first round of parent-teacher conferences, which I had four show up in the three hours that we were there, which apparently I was doing much better than some of my colleagues down the hall. They had like none at all, which was, I guess that little competition that we have sometimes of seeing who's going to show up. But this has been a running theme for a while now. Parent-teacher conferences just don't seem to be as important as they used to be. And I'm not saying it's like a slam, because I haven't gone to my son's in a while, and I work in the same building. I think it's just a technology change with email, with the PowerSchool system, so parents and students and everyone can see the grades and what's going on. There's real no reason to wait for a 9 weeks conference. You can take care of it well before that. So I think it's just a holdover, and the fact that the high school is part of the district, so and the contract, the way that works out, we have to do something because we have to earn that next Friday off, the Friday before spring break. So we get that off because of the extra time we put in for all these parent-teacher conferences. And I mean, sure, maybe it's not needed at the high school, but they still need them at the middle school or the elementary and the intermediate. So we're just kind of doing our thing. And I got another one of those coming up tomorrow night. So I'll catch up on some readings, some paperwork, have a good conversation with the few people who show up, and move on with life. What else was going on? I found myself just getting frustrated. And I typed about it a little bit in one of my Teacher of the Year paperwork things I have to do. They did ask about what I felt like was the biggest issue facing education. And with some issues that I heard this week, I still think one of the biggest issues we have is like a lack of choice or a lack of agency in for our students. You know, it's one of those things like they're just assigned by zip code to a school, whether it's too big for them, too small for them, doesn't have the programs they want. And so that's the whole school choice argument that's been going around the country. And even in our own state, we started a program, I think this year. I don't really know the details. I didn't pay that much attention to it, but it's like some kind of a tax waiver for cost of sending your kid to private school, maybe. Yeah. But on a more personal note, it's at our own high school, and we have so many options. We're a big campus. There's so many things kids could do, but it's just how many times we have some of our, you know, not even like our high flyer students, but our like slightly above average, just cool people, and that they just get frustrated and have that apathy because it's, how am I going to use this? Why do I need this? I'm just jumping through these hoops, especially as they start getting into junior, senior year, and they kind of know what they want to do, and they don't need a high-level math class, but because of the system they're in, they're sitting in a pre-calc or trig-type class, and they just want to be a teacher. Or they decided they wanted to do Votech, but they're still having to catch up with this stuff. So the idea of just that apathy from feeling like they have to do things just because they were told to. That can be frustrating. Also, an example of that is we have a requirement from the state for students to take personal financial literacy, which in the past, there was an option for you to do that as an online module. But in the last year or so, that kind of got taken away from, I'm not quite sure if it was like a teacher complaint or admin, but either way, we have students who would like to just handle that on their own and get that requirement done, but it's just not an option anymore. They're like being forced to take the class and give up a semester elective that they could have taken somewhere else. But I'm hearing that also might be changing again. I think it was said best with talking with a counselor is that we have these, I don't know, we call rules or guidelines. We have these policies, and I think sometimes we take them as law. And my wife and I were talking about it, and I think the better the better idea is take it as a guideline. This is what the quote-unquote average Mustang High School student will need to graduate, and they could take it, you know, step one to step graduate. And that might work for a lot of people, but there are some students that, because of schedule, because of career choices, and what they're going to need down the road, that that guideline, that policy, that doesn't work for them. And I think too many times the adults are kind of like, no, this is how it has to be done, versus like, you know, in a perfect world with a perfect student, a perfect situation, and a perfect schedule, this is how it'd be done. But we can customize. We can adjust and customize. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of that line from Pirates of the Caribbean talking about the pirate code, and that line about, it's like, well, it's more of a guideline. And I think that's kind of what we need sometimes with our students. We have a list of graduation requirements, but there are certain things I think we could be more flexible on and be okay with being flexible and letting them figure some of that stuff out. Because ultimately, and I think this is the biggest issue facing education, is we have this one-size-fits-all mentality that this is what the average person, the average student needs. So we're just going to apply this to everyone with fidelity. Like, we're going to make sure everyone does this, versus, hey, this is a good guideline. This is a good idea for where we need to be moving forward. But that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be done this way for everybody. And I think just that mindset shift would be so beneficial to our students and for their families, of just being open to that. You know, when a kid wants to take a certain class and you're like, ah, the schedule's full, and if this means we have to hire more counselors so they can have more of these conversations, like, I'm fine with that. I just wish the students feel like they had more agency and control. And instead of feeling like they're living out a graduation, a high school process that was made for somebody else. So, graduation requirements, more like the pirate code. It's a guideline. The list of classes you have to take, and in what order. It's more of a code. It's a guideline. And let's figure out what they need and allow them, students and families, to at least hear their voices more and let them feel more understood and heard. And I think that might solve a lot of, you know, community involvement issues as well. What else? I have one of my questions the starting of the day, and I had a good one this last week. It was something along the lines of, how strict will you be as a parent? So I, you know, get them started talking about that with their groups, and then I go off and take attendance and take care of any housekeeping issues. But I really enjoyed this one with them talking about it, because some of them, you know, I have some who are like, I'll be strict as ever. And it's like, why? It's like, because my parents are strict. And it's like, and you like that? And they're like, no. And it's like, well, then don't do it to your kids. But they're like, well, I had to go through it, so do they. I had some knuckleheads. It was a few, and they were rightfully kind of shouted down. But the idea of, they would treat, if they had sons, they can do whatever they want. But if they had a daughter, they would be like locked down. And they got called out for that. But I think, and maybe a maturity with these students or what, but most of them basically said, as strict as I need to be. You know, they from the get-go, because usually I have to maybe kind of talk them through with a little bit of dialogue and questioning, very Socratic of me, to get them to that. But because some of them are just, you know, they can do whatever. And I kind of question, like, what do you mean, whatever? But a lot of them were there. It was just as strict as I need to be. And the idea that, I think one student even said, the idea that, if we're talking about like elementary school kids, like, I'm going to be stricter with them. But as they work their way through middle school and high school, maybe as they show more aptitude and capability and competence, I'm going to let them be more, free. And I was like, yeah, no, totally. I think that's how it's supposed to be. As y'all, as teenagers, as you show that competence and the trust builds, that's the path we need to go, which got into a whole other one of my classes, a conversation of Simon Sinek's book, The Infinite Game, is that it's like a game theory thing, that there's the games we play in life, there's finite games and infinite games. Finite games would be like your sport. See, this is a set time and time frame, and there's a scoreboard, and we're trying to figure that out. And we're trying to beat them within the time frame, within these set of rules for this event. But we joked with one of my classes, you know, that makes sense, because you can't just go down the hallway and, like, tackle people, you know, because they're in your way or because they're between you and your goal. And that's what it is with finite game. But for some reason, when we get to that field, football or soccer, on that time period, in those white lines, this is a whole new set. But the problem is, we try to apply finite logic to infinite games. An infinite game would be like your marriage. How do you win at a marriage? Like, what's a score, you know? An infinite game would be like friendships. You know, how do you win at a friendship? Like, do you have to collect so many friends, or for how long? Or, but the one we talked about was like parenting. And I said, for me, I've always kind of had the mindset of parenting. The goal is, it's an infinite game. I want to parent in a way that my child will still want to hang out with me when they're an adult. A parent in a way, find that middle ground. Like I said, as strict as you need to be. But how do I find that middle ground where when I call him up in his 20s and say, hey, you wanna hang out, you wanna get some coffee, you wanna go get some food? And he'll be like, yeah, no problem, I'm free. And there's no hesitancy, because hopefully I treated him with respect and the right appropriate amount of kindness and strictness that deserved his competency and trust and ability. And so, and we talked about it later with a friend, but this idea of, I think too many times parents put finite games, because like, how do you win at that? Because, and they'll say, oh yeah, I want that. I want my kid to hang out with me when I'm older. But then what they act as if their kid needs to have a certain job. Their kid needs to have a certain size house. Their kid needs to have a certain GPA. Yeah. And it's like the success of my son is not beholden to his GPA. And that's a thing for a portion of his travels, and it'll help with, you know, steps along the way. But ultimately, like, there are more important things in life than his GPA. There's more important things in life than his salary, his house, what he can post on social media in terms of like vacations down the road. And I think too many times we do that. We inadvertently tell our kids that how they earn value and how they can win is these things that are finite. Like, because what if it's a 5-bedroom house is a thing? It's like, sure, what if you don't get there by the time 25, 35, maybe it's your 40, or you have this dream car and you can't afford it for a while. Are you a failure all through your 20s and 30s because you can't afford that thing? No, that's just, you just haven't got there yet. And I think that's the mindset, like the parenting mindset, is that infinite game of, sure, maybe you wish they could be doing that thing by the time they were 12. Maybe you wish you didn't have to remind them about that by the time they were 15, but keep going at it, because there's no time limit on this, and you just got to keep trying and keep reaching out. And I think that's maybe any kind of success I feel like I've had as a parent, but I think even more so as a teacher. It's just like, just keep trying, keep reaching out, and realize that this is an infinite game, and it does not end in May. Act in a way that when they're having problems, teach in a way that when they're having problems and issues next year as a junior, as a senior, that they still want to come back and say, hey, Mr. Farnham, I got a question. And if I do that, if I act in that way, I feel like my day-to-day, my random Mondays, my random September days are going to look completely different when I keep that in mind. It's, as a friend says, begin with the end in mind. How do I want my classes to look in March, April, and May? How do I want my students to treat me when they see me at the grocery store or in the hallway? And it's the same for my son when he's older. And teach, like we've been trying to parent, in a way that students will still be excited to see you at a random spot down the road. And I think that shift that I made some years ago has honestly just made all the difference. So thanks for coming to my Monday special edition. And hopefully, again, that book I was talking about was Simon Sinek's Infinite Game. But even if you don't read it, how many times are you causing yourself trouble because you're confusing finite for infinite? And I promise you, the more you think about that, the more you see it, and you realize maybe you can let some things go. Well, as always, have a day.